All right, so picture this. You finally found it, the perfect lot for your dream home.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's got like a weird shape or like a big old oak tree right in the middle. You know what I mean?
I can see it.
You could just imagine yourself sitting on the porch just relaxing.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you go on vacation, all excited to start building when you get back, and bam, giant concrete slab right in the middle of your property.
Oh, no.
Turns out there was a title mix-up and the builder thought everything was fine. This actually happened in a real case. Brit Builders Incorporated versus Brister.
Wow.
And it takes us on a wild ride through property rights, good faith possession, and just what happens when construction goes so wrong.
It sounds like a nightmare.
It really is. We've got legal excerpts, court opinions, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So buckle up as we deep dive into the legal battle over Lot 201.
Lot 201. All right. So what's really interesting here is that it wasn't like some shady developer, trying to pull one over on somebody.
Right.
It all started with Maureen Brister buying this Lot 201 in Woodlands Subdivision in Baton Rouge back in 1984. And we're talking a very specific lot. She chose it for its unique shape and this beautiful oak tree.
Oh, I can just imagine her Pinterest board just exploding with ideas. She must have been so excited.
Oh, absolutely. Ready to get started.
Yeah.
But here's where things get a little messy. That same year, Brit Builders comes in and they're ready to buy what they thought was the same lot.
Oh.
But the problem is a faulty title search missed the fact that Brister already owned the property.
Oh, no. So they were totally in the dark, just going about their business.
That's what it seems like. They started construction, they removed the oak tree, poured a concrete slab, all ready to build a house. It wasn't until July, after the slab was already poured, that they discovered Brister actually held the title to the lot.
Oh, that's so awkward.
Talk about an awkward situation.
Yikes. So everybody thought they were doing everything right, but legally speaking, somebody had to be in the wrong.
Right.
This sounds like a legal tug of war.
Exactly. And that's exactly where it begins. The trial court initially awarded Brister only $3,500.
$3,500.
Or $1,000 for cleanup of the construction debris left on the lot, and $2,500 for the removal of the oak tree.
Hold on, wait a minute. Only $3,500? That seems way too low, considering they basically started building a whole house on her property.
Right.
What about that giant concrete slab just sitting there?
Well, you're right to question that. And Brister felt the same way. She appealed the decision, arguing that the damages were far too low, especially since that slab basically amounted to an ongoing trespass. I mean, who's going to want to buy a lot with a random concrete slab right in the middle of it?
Right, it's a total deal breaker.
Yeah.
So, did the appellate court agree with her? Did they see that concrete slab for the property value killer it was?
They did. And this is where the case gets really interesting. The appellate court really dove deep into this concept of good faith possession and its limits.
Okay, so let's unpack this good faith thing because it seems like the heart of the issue here. What does good faith possession actually mean in a case like this?
So in this case, it means that while Brit Builders did technically trespass, they genuinely believed that they had the right to build on that lot. They weren't acting with any kind of malicious intent,
Wait.
just based on the information they had from that faulty title search.
I don't know. I'm struggling with this good faith idea.
Yeah.
It seems unfair that they get penalized when they genuinely thought they were in the right side. How does the law balance those competing interests?
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, you have Brister, who's rightfully upset.
Right.
And on the other hand, you have Brit Builders, who made an honest mistake.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation for
Okay.
sure. And that's what makes this case so interesting. The appellate court, they recognize Brit Builders' good faith,
Okay.
but they also acknowledge that their actions, however unintentional, really harmed Brister's property.
Yeah.
That concrete slab wasn't adding any value, it was actively decreasing the lot's usability. Imagine trying to landscape around that thing.
I know, what a nightmare.
It would be a nightmare.
So, good intentions aside, you can't just force improvements on someone. That's a huge win for property owners.
Exactly. And that's where Article 496 of the Louisiana Civil Code comes into play. This article addresses compensation for good faith possessors,
Okay.
but it's generally applied when the possessor's actions actually enhance the property value.
Oh, so, hey, I accidentally built this awesome gazebo on your land. You benefit, so you got to pay me something. But
Exactly.
wait, isn't Brister unjustly enriched by getting a free concrete removal? Where's the fairness for the builder?
You know, those are great points, and it's a real balancing act.
Yeah.
But in this specific case, Article 496 didn't really apply because the concrete slab was more of a burden than a benefit.
Right.
And because of that, the court turned to the doctrine of continuing trespass under Article 2315.
Continuing trespass. Okay. All ears. That sounds intense.
So think of it like this. The concrete slab wasn't just a one-time, oops, my bad, trespass.
Right.
It was an ongoing issue. That slab had been sitting on Brister's property for 7 years, preventing her from fully using and enjoying her land. The court saw this as a continuous harm that needed to be addressed.
So it's like a dripping faucet on your neighbor's property, but instead of water, it's constantly dripping lethal trouble onto your land.
Exactly. That's continuing trespass.
Well, wait a minute. So that fence dispute I had with my neighbor that could have been continuing trespass?
Potentially.
This is hitting way too close to home.
Yeah.
So what was the final verdict in the Brit Builders case? Did they have to pay up?
They did. The appellate court awarded Brister an additional $9,168 for the removal of that concrete slab on top of the initial $3,500, bringing the total to $12,668.
Wow.
It sends a clear message. Even unintentional trespass has consequences, especially when it burdens the property owner.
So Brister won the case, but I can only imagine the stress and frustration she went through. This whole situation just highlights how important due diligence is in real estate, right?
Absolutely. A thorough title search could have prevented this whole mess. But hold on, there's a twist. A concurring opinion throws a whole new wrench into the concept of damages. We'll tackle that head on in part two.
A twist. All right, I can't wait.
Okay, so remember Article 496, that tricky part of Louisiana law dealing with good faith possession and compensation for improvements? Well, the court really honed in on the language specifically, that phrase, enhanced value. They were really focused on whether that concrete slab actually made Brister's property more valuable.
Right, because their argument was that it was a detriment, not a benefit. It's not like they accidentally added a swimming pool or something.
Exactly. The court basically said that Article 496 is designed to prevent unjust enrichment. Like if somebody builds a gazebo on your land, you know, thinking it's theirs and that gazebo significantly increases the property value, well, you shouldn't just get a free gazebo.
That makes sense. Yeah, the person who made the improvement deserves some compensation.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be fair for the property owner to just get a free upgrade.
Right. But, and this is crucial, the court made it clear that Article 496 doesn't apply when those so-called improvements actually decrease the value or create a burden for the owner.
So it's like someone improving your property by dumping a pile of dirt in your driveway.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the court was saying even if you built it in good faith, you can't just force unwanted constructions on someone and then demand payment.
Mm.
They were really trying to protect Brister's right to use and enjoy her property the way she wanted.
It's her property, her vision, her dream home.
Exactly.
Okay, so Article 496 was out. What about Article 2315, the one about trespass? How did that fit in?
Right. Well, once the court tossed out Article 496, they shifted gears to Article 2315 to address the trespass issue. And this is where that whole continuing trespass idea gets really interesting.
You mentioned it earlier, but I'm still a little fuzzy on how that works in practice. Is it like if your neighbor's dog keeps digging under the fence and pooping in your yard? Is that a continuing trespass?
That's a perfect example. A continuing trespass happens when something is unlawfully on your property or someone is unlawfully present on your property and it just keeps going.
Okay.
Like someone built a shed that encroaches on your land or they're dumping their trash on your property. It's an ongoing problem.
And so in the Brit Builders case, the concrete slab wasn't just a one-time trespass because it's still there years later. Just like a bad house guest who wouldn't leave.
Exactly. And because it was an ongoing problem, Brister was entitled to damages for that whole period of time.
Okay.
The court saw it as a continuous infringement on her property rights, like a mosquito bite that just keeps itching and never goes away.
Ouch. I would not want that concrete slab anywhere near my property.
Ah.
So this case isn't just about one concrete slab. It's setting a precedent for how courts might handle all sorts of property disputes, like that fence line I'm always arguing with my neighbor about.
Exactly. Brit Builders versus Brister has implications far beyond that one concrete slab. It gives us a framework for understanding these situations where someone's actions, even if they're unintentional, result in a burden on someone else's property.
This is making me think about property in a whole new way. It's not just about lines on a map. It's about respecting those boundaries and understanding how our actions affect other people, even when we're trying to do the right thing.
That's a great point. But remember that twist we mentioned, that concurring opinion from Judge Shortus? He really brought in the human side of the situation.
Yes. He was the one who talked about the intangible harm that Brister suffered. all the stress and disruption beyond just the concrete slab itself.
Exactly. While he agreed that she should get the money for the slab removal, he added a whole new layer of analysis. It's like he was saying, hey, this isn't just about concrete and dollars. It's about a dream being delayed. It's about the impact on the homeowner.
That's interesting. It's not just legal technicalities. It's the human story behind the case. What did he say about those intangible harms?
He pointed out that the concrete slab wasn't just a physical obstacle. It represented a broken dream for Brister.
Right.
She couldn't build the home that she'd envisioned on that particular lot in that spot. It was a symbol of all the trouble she had to go through.
Wow, that adds a whole new layer to the case. It's not just about the money. It's about the impact on her life.
Mm.
So was he saying that she should get more money for emotional distress?
That's a great question. The court didn't specifically award damages for intangible harms in this particular case, but Judge Shortis's opinion really opened the door for future cases to consider that.
Okay, so it's like he planted a seed for a more well-rounded approach to these kinds of cases, acknowledging that these disputes are not just about physical stuff, but also about how they affect people's lives.
You got it. It's a trend we're seeing. More and more courts are recognizing that property ownership isn't just about legal boundaries, it's about the connection people have with their homes and their land.
That's really fascinating. It makes you realize that behind every legal case, there are real people, and their stories really matter. This has been so eye-opening. I've learned so much about property law and how important it is to think beyond just the rules.
I'm glad to hear it. Brit Builders versus Brister is a case that just keeps on giving with all these legal nuances and arguments.
Yeah.
It reminds us that property law, while sometimes we don't think about it that much, is really a part of our everyday lives, you know, shaping our homes and our communities and how we feel like we belong.
It also shows that good intentions really do matter. While Brit Builders ultimately had to pay up, their good faith wasn't ignored. The court saw that they weren't being malicious, and that's important, right?
Absolutely. It speaks to the fairness of the legal system. Even when someone's found liable, acknowledging their good faith is a way of saying, we see you, we understand your actions weren't meant to cause harm.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Brit Builders, Inc. versus Brister, what's the big takeaway for our listeners? What should they remember?
Well, I think the core message is threefold. First, due diligence is crucial. Get that title search done. It'll save you so much trouble.
Seriously. Folks, don't skip the title search. It's worth it.
Absolutely. Second, even good faith has its limits. It's not a free pass when it comes to property rights. And finally, the harm caused by trespass can go way beyond just the physical stuff. It can affect people's lives in big ways.
It's a reminder that property law isn't just about legal principles. It's about people and their homes.
You said it perfectly.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about today. Thank you for taking us through this legal maze.
My pleasure. Always happy to dive deep into these cases, but we're not done yet. There's one more layer to this case that we need to look at the damages that were awarded.
Oh, I thought Brister got $12,668. What else is there to talk about?
Well, a breakdown of that amount is really interesting. It gives us some insight into how courts figure out compensation in these trespass cases. We'll get into that in part three.
All right, so let's talk numbers. We know Brister got $12,668 in damages, but how did the court actually come up with that number? Was it like just a random guess?
No, not at all. It's actually a really interesting combination of different kinds of compensation. Remember, the trial court initially gave her $3,500.
Right. $1,000 for cleaning up that construction mess and $2,500 for the oak tree. It almost feels symbolic, like trying to make things right beyond just the money, you know?
Yeah, it is interesting that you say that. Because while the appellate court agreed with those initial awards, they also added on another $9,168 just for removing that concrete slab.
Okay. That makes sense. The slab was the real problem, that ongoing trespass that messed things up for Brister.
Mm.
But how do you even put a price on removing a giant chunk of concrete? Did they call a demolition crew and get a quote?
Pretty much. They probably used expert testimony or estimates to figure out a fair price for breaking up the slab and getting rid of it. So that $9,168 wasn't just random. It was based on actual costs.
So there's a system to it all. It's not just about punishing the trespasser. It's about making the property owner whole again.
Exactly. It's a legal principle called restoration damages. The court wants to put the property owner back in the same position they would have been in if the trespass never happened, like hitting the undo button on that construction mistake.
So basically getting rid of that concrete eyesore and giving Brister back her property. But what about those intangible harms we talked about? The emotional distress, the inconvenience, the shattered dream of building her house there. Did they consider those in the final amount?
That's where things get a bit more complicated. While the court didn't specifically award damages for those things in this case, Judge Shortus's concurring opinion really opened the door for future cases to think about those factors.
So it's like he's paving the way for a more well-rounded approach to damages, realizing that property disputes aren't just about the physical stuff, but about how they affect people's lives.
Yeah, you got it. And we're seeing that more and more courts are starting to understand that property ownership is not just about legal lines on a map. It's about that deep personal connection people have with their homes and lands. Judge Shortus's opinion in this case is a great example of that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It makes you realize that every legal case has real people with real stories behind it.
Yeah.
And those stories matter. This whole deep dive has been amazing. I've learned so much about property law and how important it is to look beyond the surface.
I'm glad you think so. Britt Builders versus Brister really is a gift that keeps on giving. It's full of legal twists and turns, and it makes you think. It reminds us that property law, even though we might not think about it every day, is a big part of our lives. It affects our homes, our communities, and where we feel like we belong.
It also shows that good intentions do matter. Even though Britt Builders ended up having to pay the court, still considered that they were acting in good faith. That has to count for something, right?
Absolutely. It shows that the legal system tries to be fair. Even when someone is held responsible, acknowledging their good faith is a way of saying, we see you and we understand you didn't mean to cause harm.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Britt Builders versus Brister, what's the one big takeaway for our listeners? What should they remember?
I'd say the main message has three parts. First, due diligence is so important. Always get that title search. It could save you a lot of headaches.
Don't skip the title search, folks. It's worth every penny.
Exactly. Second, good faith is great, but it only goes so far. It doesn't mean you can just disregard someone's property rights. And finally, the harm caused by trespass can go way deeper than just the physical stuff. It can have a real impact on people's lives.
It's a good reminder that property law is about more than just rules. It's about real people and the places they call home.
That's a great way to put it. Well, it's been a pleasure exploring this case with you.
Thank you so much for walking us through it. I feel like I have a whole new understanding of this stuff.
You're very welcome. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp. And remember, property law is all around us, shaping our world in ways we may not even realize.
That's a great point to end on. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the Britt Builders case. We'll catch you next time for another exciting legal adventure.